welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. I'm Shauna.
And I'm Laura.
And we're friends and writing partners who happen to be pregnant at the same time, so we started a podcast about it.
This week on our weekly check-ins, we discover Shauna is halfway through. We delve into our very first big topic, and then we do our BFPs and BFNs for the week.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 9. Let's get started with our check-ins. Laura, where are you this week and what's going on?
I am in week 16. It just seems like it's just really moving along really fast.
Yeah.
And yeah, this week is fairly unremarkable from a pregnancy standpoint. From a personal standpoint, I know that we had talked about in a previous episode, my friend who had died about a month ago, and his memorial was actually this week. So that was really, you know, it was a emotionally difficult time, but also a really nice time because a lot of our friends came in from out of town. So I got to see some friends that from New York and New Orleans and all these friends who I haven't seen in a really long time. And we've never all get to hang out together. All, you know, I think there were a good core group of six of us who all were hanging out and we had dinner, you know, two nights in a row and basically just spent the whole weekend together, two straight days, and then, you know, went to the memorial, and the memorial was beautiful. And so it was a, you know, it was a really sad time, but also a really special time to see our friends and try to remind ourselves that we should see each other more, you know, not just when there's a tragedy to bring us together. And Most of my friends are moms at this point, so we got to all, you know, exchange tips and stuff, and I got some really, I don't know if it was helpful or terrifying tips about childbirth.
Oh gosh, like what?
Oh, my friend Jean, she was telling me a lot about the first poop after childbirth and how terrifying that supposedly is, and she was giving me a lot of advice about eating all the prunes and beforehand, stuff like that. And
yeah, I heard nightmares about that. It wasn't horrible for me, but I prepared too. I ate spinach at almost every meal at the hospital. Like if I could order like some kind of like veggie like that, I'd be like, check. So I think that's good advice.
Yeah, they were very concerned about, and you know, my friend Carrie was with us as well, and she's also pregnant. She's about two months ahead of me. So they were just dishing out advice for us, whether we wanted it or not. Also, this was over a very, very long, very drunken for everyone, but me and Carrie dinner at a Korean barbecue. So we got some uncensored childbirth advice. And then we were in a private room, thankfully.
Oh, that's good.
But then the poor waiter guy who kept coming in to bring us our extra meat, he looked so terrified because at some point he walks in and Jean was just like talking about pooping after pregnancy. And then people are talking about epidurals and all this stuff. And like this guy walks in and Jean was very apologetic and I made sure we tipped him well. So.
Oh, whatever, dude. Circle of life.
Circle of life.
Accept it.
Anyway, so that's that was my week. It was exhausting, but I don't think for pregnancy reasons. It was exhausting for emotional reasons. And physically, I feel good. How about you? What's Yay. Going on in your life this week?
Well, I am week 20. Ooh, oh my God, I'm halfway there.
Halfway. Oh my God.
That's so exciting. Yeah, like you said, it's almost hard to believe that. Like, it's just chugging along and you're already here. And it's crazy. And this is a big week because that's when you get the anatomy scan, which is like the big ultrasound that really can look at all of the anatomy of the baby and check on everything. So I did that and I was, of course, a nervous wreck. I'm the worst patient because I think I might have mentioned this last time I went to this place to get a scan. It's like I think they're used to moms just like so thrilled to see everything. And I'm walking and I'm just like, I could barely talk. I'm so nervous. And I should mention probably the reason that I'm so nervous about this pregnancy is I've had two losses. I've had two miscarriages. They were missed miscarriages. So they completely took me by surprise. And I found out about both of them on during an ultrasound when they found out there was like no heartbeat. So,
but much earlier, right? There wasn't
much earlier. Yes. Yeah.
But
like
still
10, 11 weeks.
Trauma associated with getting an ultrasound.
Totally. It's super triggering for me. I just like expect bad news. It's very hard for me to get my hopes up and be happy. Anyways.
So tell me this one went great.
It went great. He said everything. I have like a great specialist. He said everything looks good. I did learn that I have a condition called marginal cord insertion, which means that the umbilical cord doesn't attach to the direct center of the placenta like it does in almost all pregnancies. It actually attaches kind of off to the side, and I guess in most cases it's fine. It's just now I need extra monitoring, so I'm going to have another scan at this place at 32 weeks to check her growth, because with this condition they're concerned that like blood and nutrients might not move from like the bottom part of a placenta up to the cord that's off center, and that could inhibit growth and stuff. So I was like, I walked away happy, but also like, oh, yay, something to worry about and Google about and freak myself out. And
so is that your next ultrasound? Do you have anything scheduled between 20 and 32? Or
no, and most women don't have any other ultrasounds from there to the end. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I guess because, you know, I'm old, we're geriatric pregnancies, and I just have gotten so used to going to the doctor so regularly. In the, you know, at the very beginning, he was having me come every 2 weeks. And then now I think it's every 4 weeks. And I'm like, oh, 4 weeks, it's so long to wait. That just seems like a lifetime, an eternity.
Yeah.
Especially to drop, oh, by the way, you might have something a little abnormal, might be a problem. We'll see in 12 weeks.
I know. So I'm like, oh, gosh. But, you know, the good news is like everything on her anatomy looked good. Her brain, her heart, all the blood flow and everything was good, and I got some cute pictures and some more 3D.
Oh, you got the lasagna 3D pics. Ooh, I want to see your crispy lasagnas.
Yeah, it's funny. I think she looks like her sister.
I bet she does.
Yeah, you don't know for sure, but I'm just like, oh, I think she kind of like looks like her sister.
Well, I'll be the judge. I'll be the third party judge of that.
Yeah, okay. I'll show it to you.
Did it take a long time, the anatomy scan?
Yeah, like an hour. I mean, the tech is in there and they really try to get everything and they have to measure everything. Mm-hmm. And my baby was moving around a lot, so the tech was getting really frustrated that she couldn't get measurements of like arms and legs because she was like kicking and swimming much. So yeah, and you know, depends on all that stuff. But then the doctor comes in and it goes over everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a really cool experience. I'm excited for you to do it too and see your little one.
I got a couple weeks left, but yeah, I think I have it. I do actually have it scheduled. So
cool.
Yep. Right for 20 weeks. So we'll see.
Awesome. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
So our next segment is actually a new one that we're calling Big Topics. We thought it would be nice to talk about sort of these, rather than talk about our sort of smaller, funnier segments, we thought we would talk about sort of the big things that come up when it comes to pregnancy and childbirth and parenting and all that stuff. And so we decided we'd start at the very beginning with a topic that, interestingly, I thought was a big topic, and Shauna will share her thoughts, but she maybe didn't think it was as much of a big topic as I did, and that's ground for discussion, which is how we decided we wanted to become parents in the first place. So, Shauna, do you want to talk about why this is kind of not a big topic for you, or was what were your thoughts? Do you even remember what it was like to think about the decision?
I guess it doesn't feel like such a big topic, maybe A, because it's so far in my past now that I don't think about this kind of thing anymore whatsoever. So I have to kind of rack my brain. And also, I think just part of me always knew I wanted to be a parent. I definitely wasn't one of those people that was like, I will never be fulfilled if I don't have children. Like, once I got into my adulthood, I was like, okay, I think that's something I want. And if it doesn't happen, that's cool too. And I started pursuing creative things here out in LA and living a basically like financially unstable life and working part-time so I could like pursue acting and writing and stuff like that. And I always felt like, oh, I should just be a little more stable before I try to have kids. And so I was never like jonesing to have kids, but I knew that I wanted them. And my husband definitely did. Like, he always is like, oh yeah, I definitely want to be a dad. And I knew we wanted to do that together.
I was going to say, you and your husband had been together for a really long time, too, before you got married, right?
Yeah, we were together 8 years before we got married, and then like 3 years before we started having kids, or before we started trying. It took us a long time before we actually had our first child.
That's another big topic for another day.
Yes, trying to conceive. So... yeah, I guess I just always saw myself as being a parent. I definitely, when I was younger, saw myself getting married at 25 and having my first kid at maybe 27 and then just going on with life. And that sure didn't work out. I didn't see the old-ass geriatric mother in my future.
Well, because your mom was pretty young when she had you, too, right?
She was 22. So that was my perception of, you know, motherhood and timelines and stuff. Is like, you have kids when you're, like, super young and energetic. And so it just didn't work out that way for me. But that's okay. Here we are. I've got my girl and my second on the way. And yeah, it all feels right.
And, you know, we probably wouldn't have been able, well, I mean, able, but we probably wouldn't be as close friends and writing partners as we were if you had followed your initial timeline.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what was I even doing at that point in life. I think I was in grad school.
Which is where we met.
Yeah, I definitely would not have gone to USC for grad school and spent way too much money on that program if I had had a small child at that point.
Yeah, priorities would have been very different.
Mm-hmm.
But you went in, but you and Steve went into marriage and dating, it sounds like, just with the assumption that you guys would have kids at some point.
I think so. Yeah, I think it
did
was
you ever
kind
have like
an
a
assumption.
Big conversation mm-hmm. about it or anything, or was just like a given?
Not that I recall. I think it was probably just a given. I've always liked kids. I've always liked family. I loved my family growing up and really enjoyed being around them and people and just saw myself with a full house. And one thing that comes up a lot, like when people are feeling indecisive about whether or not to have kids or more kids, people say, don't think about like what your life is going to be like in the next year with a newborn. Think about what's your life going to be like in 10, 12 years, like around the Thanksgiving table. Do you picture or want, you know, you and your partner, if you have one, and kids and like a big kind of family event? Or do you see yourself wanting, not wanting that? And I always, that struck me because I'm like, I definitely want like the bigger, more family-centric events and holidays. And that appealed to me big time.
That was something that definitely helped me when I was deciding as sort of projecting ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I didn't have that. Well, first of all, I didn't have that model of the young parent at all. My mom was 35 when she had me, which in 1982 was very geriatric.
Yeah.
And she was so she was 33 when she had my brother and 35 when she had me, and she was considered, you know, very late. But my mom's a doctor, and she wanted to get through her residency before she started having kids, so that's what happens, especially when you are a subspecialist, sub-sub-sub-specialist or whatever she is. So kids were just something she had to wait. But she said she always knew she wanted to be a mom. But I never had that. It was one of those things where I never had strong feelings one way or the other. And I was very jealous of people who were not ambivalent about it because I could see both sides. You know, I saw the benefits of not having kids and being able to travel the world and do whatever you want and maintain autonomy over your own body and all that stuff. But I also really saw the benefit of, you know, the full Thanksgiving table and the just sort of the full life you get with a larger family. I had a really hard time reconciling what I wanted to do because I could honestly see both sides of the coin. And I knew I was leaning towards having kids just because, honestly, in our society, it's the default, right? It's the thing that you're kind of expected to do. But I think, you know, as I got older, I kind of, in my 20s, I was definitely like dead set. I never had this idea like I want to get married and have kids in my 20s. Like I thought it was for sure further down the line, around probably 35, like my mom, and I would just deal with it later. And I just also completely assumed that when I turned 30, some flip would get switched on in my brain and make me go baby crazy and want to have a baby. And people had like told me that this was a thing that was going to happen. They're like, oh, you will just want a baby. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. Mm-hmm. And it never happened. Like, even with my close friends having kids and how cute they were. And, you know, I love your daughter and I love our friends' kids. I was never like, man, I need one of those for myself. It never happened. So I had to kind of make an intellectual decision rather than an emotional decision about it. Mm-hmm. Or use my intellect, I guess, to come up with whatever the true emotional decision was. The thing I kept going back to was this essay by Cheryl Strayed. Do you know, she wrote Wild and she does the Dear Sugars podcast, which is actually ending. But I love her. I think she's so wise and relatable. And she wrote a column when she was writing the Dear Sugars column, which is an advice column. A man had written in, he was 40, and he was wrestling with the same question that, you know, he doesn't know if he should have kids. He loves his current life. He loves the freedom he has. But he tells a story about how he had adopted or found newborn kittens, you know, when he was in his 20s and nursed them, you know, every 2 hours when they were bottle feeding and raised them up their whole lives and how much he loved them and how he never once regretted taking care of them. And
that's so cute.
It's so cute. And it also speaks directly to me because I am a crazy cat lady.
Oh, true. Yes.
But the question was like, what do I do? Do I have kids or do I not have kids? I can see my life both ways. What do I do? And Cheryl Strayed, I'll link to this in the show notes on our website. But Cheryl Strayed writes the best essay. I think it's called The Ghost Ship That Didn't Carry Us. And it's this essay about how all the big decisions in your life basically take your life in a direction that you can never know the other way your life could have gone. And you can imagine it, and it's like we're on one ship, and the other life is on another ship, and you can only wave to it and imagine what's going on that other ghost ship that isn't carrying you. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she said is, you know, the writer said, I don't want to make this decision based on worrying that I'm going to regret it later on in life. Like, I don't want to have kids just because I'm going to regret it. And Cheryl Strayed was like, why not? That's the reason we do so many good things in life. Like,
yeah.
Worrying about future regret is actually a great motivation. And she has a lot of great advice about really taking the time to imagine what your life is in the future both ways. And then really imagining, like, seeing which one is calling to you. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't deny that the one that called to me was the one with kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't mean that if it didn't work out for me, that I would be unhappy in a life without kids. Because I could see myself being happy there. But the one that really called to me was the life with kids. It was the bigger life to me. Mm-hmm. It's not the bigger life for everyone.
Right.
But for me, it just seemed, you know, in that she says in the thing, imagine yourself as 85 years old. You know, do you envision yourself traveling or do you, you know, enjoying your solitude or do you envision yourself with a, you know, 40-year-old child who has kids of their own? And that was very clarifying to me. It was like, oh, I definitely envision myself with a kid and grandchild. You know, I definitely would rather have that life. So, yeah. And then I got married at 34. Was that how? I'm like, you were there. Do you remember?
Yeah, 33?
No, 34. Oh, no, I was 2 weeks away from turning 34. That's what it was. Because it was 2 years ago and I'm 36 now. So
yeah,
the math works out. And then, yeah. And then we, you know, just this year we're like, okay, well, basically I have to do it, you know. Well, also my IUD was expiring. So seemed like a good time to make a decision. Plus, and we didn't know if it would be easy for us or not. Again, which is a discussion for another day. But
yeah,
we decided it was time to just bite that bullet, even though it doesn't. It still feels like, it's crazy. I still feel like I'm too young to have a kid. Like, man, at 36 and my husband's almost 40, like, woo, really too young to be taking care of this kid. But we're
especially
excited.
When, like, so many of the women on these boards we're on are, like, 18. And it's just,
I know.
Like, oh, man, that really makes me feel old. But I know. But one thing you mentioned about the, you know, when you're older and thinking of having an adult child, that reminded me that I definitely had that consideration too. One of my friends who I'm pretty sure is not interested in having kids at one time years ago was asking me about this. And I was just like, well, I don't know. I really am excited to have like an adult child, like when I'm older, because my mom and I have such an awesome relationship and mm-hmm. she's like one of my best friends. And I just love that. And I just thought it would be so cool for me to have that too, you know, on the other end, on the mothering end, and have that great relationship with an adult or even a, like a teenager and just an older child, because that's really the majority of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the infant stuff. It's the older stuff and developing relationships that are special. And I don't know. I just always thought that was really cool. And so I related to that too with what you were saying. So,
yeah. Well, I'm gonna post a link to that in our show notes in case anyone else is wrestling with the idea or any other big, you know, honestly, it's a good piece of advice for any big life decision. Mm-hmm. So I think, thank you, Cheryl Strayed.
Yeah.
If I was having a girl, maybe I would have to name the child Cheryl, but not happening. Anyway, we finished our first big topic. How do you feel?
Good.
Good. Me too.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
our next segment is our BFPs and BFNs. Let's check in on our highs and lows for the week. Laura, take it away.
I got a BFP this week that I'm so excited about because it's brought me so much relief. I think I've complained about my heartburn, right? On previous episodes. Well, I've known about this product for years, and I've been, I don't know, too embarrassed to buy it or thought it was like for an old person. But I finally broke down and I bought a sleeping wedge pillow.
What is that?
So it's like a long triangle, like that it's just a wedge. It's made out of like memory foam, so it's really soft, and it just elevates your head. You know, it goes down to about waist level and just elevates your head while you're sleeping.
Oh, okay.
And it's meant for heartburn, and it has completely revolutionized my sleep.
In what way? Like, what's better?
I can sleep through the night without getting woken up by ridiculous, painful heartburn.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because
good.
It's gravity that, you know, is... It basically, it's just helping keep your stomach acid in with gravity, and it works. And I am so grateful for it. Like, I can't even describe how grateful I am. I was just like, I love you, pillow. So it's a little weird. And, you know, I'm elevated in bed next to my husband. So, like, if we kiss each other goodnight, I have to, like, kind of, like, lean over. And sleeping on your side is you're a little wonky, but that has also helped because sleeping on my side is actually when I had the worst heartburn.
Oh.
And you're not really supposed to sleep on your back when you're pregnant. So, you know, there's all these reasons why it's been helpful. So I'm all about it.
You put it under the sheet or
I put it on top of the sheet. It has like a pillowcase that comes with that's washable. So yeah, I just put it on. And then I have put pillows on top of it so your head is, you know, more supported. But it's also really nice for reading.
True.
Before bed, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you'll keep using it after you have your child?
Depends on how the heartburn goes, but I just told my dad to get one because he has really bad reflux, and I was telling him, like, you just gotta bite the bullet and do it. I think he finds it a little too steep. Mm-hmm. I think there's different grades you can get, for me, the getting used to sleeping a little bit more upright is a small price to pay to not have to be in pain all night and having to wake up once an hour and eat Tums because your esophagus is on fire.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I'm all about it. I'll put a link to the one I got in the show notes too, so people can help themselves as well. So that's cool. my very, very exciting BFP. What about you? What do you got?
I have a BFP also.
Oh, good.
So one thing I've been struggling with this pregnancy is sinus congestion, which is also so boring. But yeah, I think I touched on it last week. Just I can't breathe. I got this air filter. I got a humidifier in my room. All this stuff. I'm waking up with headaches. But one thing that I discovered that's helped me is the ever sexy Breathe Right strip.
Oh.
Have you ever used those?
I know what they are. I actually used them, I think, when I was like a teenager and had a cold, but I haven't touched them since. Are they making a difference?
Yeah. And I think they've improved them since I used them last like 10 years ago. Like the design seems better.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like the sticky strips that you put on your nose and it kind of like, I don't even know how it works. Pulls
it, like,
open
flares,
your sinus.
Yeah, it, like, flares open your upper nostril, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, it's helped a lot. I have had fewer headaches, and I can breathe better when I sleep. And now I'm just a sexy beast sleeping with my nose, my Breathe Right strip on my nose.
So
I wear earplugs in my ears. I wear a grinding guard in my mouth. I am just the picture. I'm just, yeah, the picture.
All you need is a sleeping wedge and
oh my God, wake up a goddess every day.
Yes. Oh my God.
But yeah, it's been good. It's been really helpful. So if you're having sinus congestion because of your pregnancy, everything's inflamed, try the Breathe Right strips. This is not an ad for Breathe Right strips. I just like them.
Not an ad for Breathe Right strips or the pillow wedge. We just, when we find something that helps us, we want you to also be helped, right?
That's right. So go help yourself.
Well, I guess that's our episode, huh, Shauna?
All right, we just wrapped episode 9. Woo woo. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week, and we would love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on deciding to have kids? Where do you stand? What journey did you take to get there? Share with us on social media. Laura, where can they find us?
We're on Instagram and Twitter at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com, and we have a community page on Facebook. Just do a search for Big Fat Positive Podcast Community, or if you go to our website, there's a link in the footer. We'd love to see you there.
Bye.
Bye.